You're on 2SER Breakfast. It's that time. It's about a quarter after eight on a Thursday morning. New movies are out. And who better to discuss all new Hollywood fare than our good friend Michael Jones joining us once again on 2SER Breakfast. Morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Danny. Happy Gabba Day 1.
Yes, that's right. Very exciting day. What do you reckon about the day-night test, the pink ball tests?
I love a good pink ball test, yeah. But I think I prefer them in Adelaide because I think in Brisbane the ball does tend to get a bit soft.
Yeah.
And it's a bit slightly harder work for the bowlers. But if the ball doesn't go soft and we get another two-day test, that gives you plenty of opportunities to go and watch some movies.
Yes, that's exactly right.
A couple of examples of movies. We've got a historical courtroom drama or a fantasy rom-com to choose from today.
Oh, geez, I don't know where to go first with this one.
First off, we'll start with a bit of froth and bubble, but maybe in this one a bit more bath foam could have been added with maybe a bit less water. That being the rom-com Eternity, starring Elizabeth Olsen of a lot of Marvel movies fame and Ingrid Goes West, Miles Teller, who's appeared in one of the now three versions of the Fantastic Four, Whiplash and Top Gun Maverick, and Callum Turner from Masters of the Air fame, Emma, and he's now firming as favourite to be the new James Bond.
Oh, really?
Yes. This one's directed by David Frayne, whose most recent other film was Dating Amber. So I think rom-coms could be a bit of a specialty for him. He also co-wrote this film with Patrick Kinane. Joan, played by Olsen, has just died. Yeah. On arrival into the afterlife, she's confronted with quite the dilemma. Does she spend the rest of eternity with her also recently deceased husband, Larry, played by Miles Teller, or her first husband, Luke, played by Turner, who was killed in the Korean War after just a few months of marriage? According to the rules of the afterlife, she can only pick one. So will Joan ever pick one? It's 6 minutes short of 2 hours and 1:53 until Joan makes her choice. To the impatient, jaded and possibly cynical viewer, this movie will feel like it has run for an absolute eternity. Sure, the sentiments of this film are sweet, but the jokes do start to wear thin as Miles Teller's needy, whiny and insecure Larry really starts to grate, and Callum Turner's Luke's naivety and bland emptiness gets pretty boring pretty fast too. Why does Joan have to pick either one of them within a week? Surely the afterlife has a more palatable alternative than those two. You know she's going to pick one of them, and 30 minutes in, it's pretty obvious which one she is going to choose. The pretty thin premise of Eternity, if it hadn't been so drawn out, there definitely would have been more laughs and even a bit of romance in this rom-com that feels like it drags on forever.
And ever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
What else did you see?
Well, one for the dads now.
Ooh.
This one's Nuremberg.
Finally.
Nuremberg, starring Russell Crowe from The Pope's Exorcist and Romper Stomper fame, Rami Malek from Oppenheimer and Bohemian Rhapsody, Leo Woodall from The White Lotus, Michael Shannon from Boardwalk Empire and Man of Steel fame, Richard E. Grant, Whitnall and I and Gosford Park, John Slattery from Mad Men. This one's directed by James Vanderbilt, whose other feature film was Truth. This version of Nuremberg is based on Jack L. High's book, The Nazi and the Psychiatrist. Now, World War II has just ended in Europe, and psychiatrist and Lieutenant Colonel Douglas Kelly, played by Rami Malek, is summoned to Berlin on a secret mission. Turns out that mission is, at face value, to assess whether 21 high-ranking Nazis, including Hermann Göring, are mentally fit to stand trial for war crimes. It's there and in Nuremberg that Kelly engages in a battle of wits with Reich Marshal Hermann Göring, played by Russell Crowe, a man supremely confident that he's done nothing wrong and he's only followed orders and that sort of stuff. Now, whilst the TV miniseries from 2000 focused more on the drama inside the courtroom, this Nuremberg focuses on the drama between Kelly and Göring as the former tries to get inside the latter's head in order to give the prosecution an in from which to attack his credibility, that being Göring's vanity. If you're a History Channel Nuffy or you just can't get enough of SBS's annual Summer of Nazis, this is your film of the year. Yes, it's well-trodden ground, but who doesn't love a World War II reality-based drama where the goodies triumph, war crimes never happen again, and the scourge of fascism is extinguished forever? Or is it? The very somber conclusion of this film suggests that maybe we are forgetting some of the lessons of the film in a none too subtle fashion. But let's not dwell on the downside of this movie.
No.
Russell Crowe is a tour de force as he conjures up yet another European accent, German this time, to portray the disarmingly charming and larger-than-life, and boy is he large, yet calculating and ruthless Hermann Göring as he channels Hando from Romper Stomper, Hannibal Lecter, and even a bit of Jabba the Hutt in a performance that's either going to earn him another Oscar nomination or possibly a Golden Raspberry. His performance, yeah, will divide. Rami Malek is good too, but without Crowe's performance, Nuremberg would have been a fairly predictable legal procedural, given we know how it all ended. Russell Crowe as Hermann Göring in Nuremberg? Was I not entertained? Hell yes, I was.
There we go. I was wondering whether we were going to be talking about Russell Crowe come Oscar time with the analysis that you provided there, but I'm glad you tempered it with some Razzies as well. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER Breakfast.
Pleasure.